Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, beginning from verse 12 to 22. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you were to love those who were foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you these great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning from verse 14 to 21, followed by Revelations 2, verse 1 to 7. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with his power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Revelations 2, verse 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 12, beginning from verse 28 to 34.
Praise and glory to God.
One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of Christ.
You may swap your seats. Just keep on sitting right here. Good morning, everyone. Thank you to the readers. An interesting reading there from Revelation. Revelation is a very interesting book, been going through it, and it has these seven letters, which are very amazing, and I would say they're like spiritual health checks to the churches. I would recommend for a read if you have time to go through Revelation. Some good news. Jason Kenney is back from retirement. I can see the excitement in your eyes and the cheers there. So much excitement. There's so much of mixed reaction. The first one, you might not have a clue who Jason Kenney is. How many have a clue? Oh. Secondly, you might think, I am not sure what he does. How many know what he does? Oh, yep. Good. And thirdly, you might not even be sure that he's out of retirement. Who's Jason Kenney? Jason Kenney is Britain's most celebrated Olympian cyclist. He has won lots of medals in the Olympic. And in the 2016 Olympic, after winning his race, he retired, but he did not tell anybody that he retired. So, after he retired, he decided to come back into retirement, which nobody knew that he had retired. But the interesting thing about Jason Kenney is this. When he retired, he didn't say why he retired. But when he was asked, he said that he retired because he fell out of love with the sport. He fell out of love with the sport. So what happened to him? He got married to this lady who's also an Olympian cyclist, and they got a child. But this lady wanted to go back. His wife wanted to go back and was worried, will I be able to get back into cycling? And Jason said, hey, you can. Let's go for it. And he started also cycling with the wife. And they went back to the places where he used to train and all these things. And what happened? It rekindled that love for the sport. And he's now back. He will be cycling and going for the Olympics in 2020. But a question, why did he stop cycling? Because he lost his love. Why did he start again? Because he refound, he rekindled, and found that love that he had. At times in our lives, we might lose the passion and the love for something we do. It doesn't mean that it's over. Sometimes you just need to re-enter that room, maybe from a different door. You've been used to coming through this door. Maybe it's time you come through the exit sometimes. So that you can know, you can see the church from a different angle. Just like that, the church of Ephesus also lost their love for God. In the same way, the Spirit was sent to us to be a helper, to join us and to connect us with the Creator. In so doing, we understand and are able to know the whole principle of how to love the Lord and to allow the Spirit to show us how we can, in return, love Him. How did the Ephesians church lose their love? In what we just read from Revelation, it says that they were busy. Ephesians was an interesting city. The Ephesian city was a big city. Business going on. It was a city where a lot of trade was happening. So there was a lot happening. But there were some things which are very peculiar about the Ephesus. The first thing, there was a big temple, the temple of Artemis. The one thing about Ephesus is that there was idol worship in the temple of Artemis. Artemis was a goddess of fertility. The other big thing in Ephesus was prostitution, immorality. This church, planted by Paul, busy building a church in a big city, so you're building it. Their soul was sold out into doing it. They were working hard and everything, but they were missing something. Sounds familiar? The Auckland life. The job that you have, it's busy. Man, getting somebody on a weekend is not easy. Getting somebody on a phone, you have to either text them and everything. Getting time to do your quiet time, getting time to talk to God, it's busy. They were bold. They stood for Jesus. They made a stand for Jesus. They refused the false teachings. They were really good at doing that, bold. They refused it. But there's a question here. Big question. When I was reading this, I started asking myself, is Jesus looking for a defense attorney? And most of the times as Christians, we live like we are defense attorneys for Jesus. We are representing him to the people. You forget that you are just representing who he is. He does not need a defense. You are just an ambassador. Jesus doesn't need a defense attorney. He calls me to be an ambassador. An ambassador for what? The Church of Ephesus also forgot that. The Church of Ephesus was also fighting. They were in deep fights. There was immorality going on. It's a big city, so a lot of things are happening. There are big things going on. And there were battles. Battles that sometimes they lost very well. Battles that they won at times. Question, what are you looking for in life? Or maybe what are you looking for in a church? Good music? Good sermon? I hope it will be a good sermon. Good friends? A good sitting position? Good coffee? We have really good coffee. What are you looking for in a church? What are you looking for in life? What am I looking for? The Spirit comes to assist us. First of all, to assist us to be loved by God and to love Him in return. To love our neighbors as ourselves and to love our enemies who would seek ill of us. I had a friend, he's called Mike. He's an interesting guy. Mike had this, he would love praying, going out, and he was sold out to the church. Very well sold out to the church. I wasn't sold out to the church like Mike. Mike was the one, I would say he would be the bishop. Because this guy would, from work to lunch, lunch break was prayer break, have some prayer meetings, have lunch, back to work. In the afternoon, he had this, I finish work, I have like worship practice, I have to go for this conference, the teaching. This was Mike. Then 2 months, 1 month, Mike is not in church. And I call him and I say, hey, Mike, what's happening? Mike is not calling my phone. Just nothing is happening with Mike. So when he gets to pick my call, I'm like, hey, Mike, did you find a girlfriend? Because she has to be really hot to make you disappear for 1 month and not pick my calls. And Mike says, we need to meet. And we finish. I could hear he was down. But I was like, oh, I'm going to meet Mike's hot girlfriend. So I met with Mike. And after talking to Mike, Mike was like, I don't feel church anymore. First thing, his parents had died in an accident. Now he had to leave school and start looking at how he can cater for his own siblings. The other thing is that, apart from that, he just noticed that also his parents had left a big debt that he also had to pay. Where is God in that? Then the other thing, he was thinking about marrying this girl who dumped him at a very crucial time when the parents just died. Where is God? Where is love at that particular moment? And Mike was just there saying that I don't see what it is to love. I don't understand what love is. I don't feel the Spirit in me. I don't know what it is that maybe sometimes we go through. I have gone through places where you feel like love doesn't work. It's easy to be busy also in the church, but be very distant and disattached to God. I could be preaching here, but very distance away, very distant from God and His love. Busy with life, but distant from the giver of life Himself. So I came up with some C's, 5 C's, which are very important. They come from Deuteronomy, where we've just read. And we always say this in the morning service, where we say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. And the second commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And then the people respond, Spirit of God, search our hearts. The first C is that when we lean into the Spirit, it trains us to love the Lord with all your heart, which is a matter of character. That's the first C. A matter of character. The Spirit is willing and ready to work on your character and my character. Our character should be the same as that of Christ, who in being who he was humble humble. Everything he did for humanity was for love. If it was not for love, Jesus wouldn't have died on that cross. Love is the only thing that put the man Jesus Christ on a cross to be a cursed man. He lived and left us the Holy Spirit to teach us the character of giving love to others beyond what we even give ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. But it does not explain how to love yourself. It just says, love your neighbor. The character of love that is not tied to how people make you feel, but tied to how God makes you feel. Walking the walk, walking the talk, and not talking the walk. The second C, when we lean into the Spirit trains us how to love the Lord with all our soul. The second C is a matter of conviction. What makes me get a conviction when I'm about to do wrong, when I'm doing something that I'm being told, do not do this? It's not the person who tells me, do not do this. It's a conviction inside me that the Spirit tells me, you have been warned about this. This will make this person more happy. You will make this person relate much better with you. Do we allow the Spirit to correct us? You see, a matter of conviction is, I read the Bible and I'm thinking, oh, this applies to this other person, not to me. Never convicts me. Conviction is allowing yourself to be vulnerable and open to the Spirit's rebuking. 2 Timothy 3:16, allowing the Spirit to rebuke and correct us into righteousness. Do we feel sorry? Because this verse is about giving thanks to God for the love that he has given to us. Love the Lord with all your heart. It is giving thanks to a God who has already done it for you and me. The third C, when we lean into the Spirit, it trains us to love the Lord with your mind. It's a matter of comprehension. You know, we learn so much. I have learned so much. I went to theology school, and when you're finishing theology, you have a big head. That when people talk, you see the theological problem in what they've said. So when you're speaking and I can see theology, I'm just thinking, wrong. And my wife has taught me how to be able to read and think about it myself. Because sometimes she used to talk and I would say, Millie, that is theologically wrong. And she'd stop with the theology. It's written here. And sometimes it's true. Stop with the theology. Leave what is written. With all your mind, it says, even the human mind cannot fathom what the Lord has in store for you. But you have to love the Lord so that that Spirit can be able to show you the immeasurable things of God. It finishes in Ephesians saying, so to whom he who immeasurably or abundantly more that can ask or imagine. Imagine those words inside your heart. But they are all captured in love. Allow the Spirit to control the darkest places in our hearts, in my heart. The fourth C, when we lean into the Spirit trains us to love the Lord with all our strength. It's a matter of competence and strength. You know, I was thinking about strength. What kind of strength are we talking here? Is it strength that I come and serve doing music? strength that I'll move these things and get it out. There's more to strength than what meets the eye. Let me ask you, how many times does somebody make you mad? And then inside you, the words which are coming, which are just about to hit this guy, are not what you'd want to say. You see, strength is not in a matter of what we do, but what you're thinking and what you say. Because when you speak, you use strength. That is a strength that comes out in you. That's the kind of spirit that we want to build to have strength. I was in that place in my life where you would say something, I had something to bring back. When you say something, I'd say, now cross the line, I'll show you who I am. But I had to understand what the Spirit is saying. Love the Lord your God with all your strength. When somebody makes you angry, that I will think about what my heart has been told. I will love that person with all my strength. You will give him a hug instead of words. Love the Lord with all your strength. What you think in your mind, evil desires, lust, all these immoral thoughts we might have, they are all brought up into strength because we do them physically. Love the Lord. Competence in how you respond to life and sin. Finally, leaning into the Spirit trains us to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is a matter of compassion. Only by allowing and letting the Spirit control our actions and moods can we be able to shake the hand and hug our neighbors, no matter who they are, no matter where they are. Compassion for others will come when you allow the Spirit to start working in you. And I was reading this, I noticed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 8, it speaks about the tongues, prophecy, and all these things. And it's interesting. Think about it. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I was just asking myself, which one? But I noticed that the fruit of the Holy Spirit validates the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is not the other way around. The gift does not validate the fruit. It is the fruit that validates the gift. If you do not have love but speak in tongues or prophesy, and I preach here to you, it means nothing. Because I do not have that love to share to you. Then I come to the story of my friend Mike. When all this happened 2 years later, he remembered my words. Love never fails. Love will never fail. Where all things this happen, even in Corinthians, it says, tongues will cease, prophecies will cease, all these things will end. But love never fails, my brothers and sisters. That is the spirit that we should have in our hearts. A question. What would you want to be remembered for? As a church and as a person. What do you want to be remembered for? What is it that your family would remember you for? Remember the church of Ephesus. They were told, this one thing I hold against you. You have lost the first love. And God recalls them back and says, repent and come back to that first love. Jason Kenny, kindled his love by going back to the place where he used to cycle. Let us close our eyes as we invite the Spirit. I do not know where you are right now or in which space you could be. But the one thing I know is that without love, it is impossible to be able to experience the gifts of God or the gifts of the Spirit. We need the Spirit of love. But the one thing that the Bible says, even in Revelation, it says, God says to the church of Ephesus, we need to repent and go back to that first love. Is there unforgiveness in us? The Lord Jesus is calling us and telling us that we need to come back to that first love. Do you feel sometimes that God has left you? Or there are things that maybe he's not doing? He is so much in love with you, but only wants you to come back to that first love. What do you want to be remembered for? For being that person who used to be big, to be out there, to change, to attend St. Margaret's, went to church on time, went to work on time? Or do you want to be known to be that person who loved the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, mind, strength, and who loved his neighbors as himself? If you're that person, I'd like you to pray and tell God, Heavenly Father, I am here. Use me. Use me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me for where I have gone wrong. And start a new thing in me. I want to re-enter into your relationship. I want to be that bride that has fallen in love with you, totally surrendered to you. I allow your Spirit to teach me how to love. And Lord God, it is said that you, O God, are love. Teach us to love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.